Shalom, brethren.
Shalom, ma'am.
Shalom, pastor.
God bless you.
Please, before I ask my question, I would like to pour out my heart because this is a privilege. In fact, I've been longing to come to Jesus Church.
Where are you from?
So, I'm from Awka, Anambra State.
Clap your hands, church. Amen.
Pastor, I thank God for your life.
Amen.
God has really used you to quench my thirsty mind.
Amen.
In fact, I've been thirsty for the word of God.
Amen.
I've been to places seeking the word. I know actually that ought to be a special word that's supposed to be going on by this time. I knew. Something told me that there ought to be end time message. I never heard it anywhere, but I know. But when I go to denominations, they keep saying the old jargon that they've started from age.
She call it jargon.
I say it doesn't satisfy. So you're just going to church to fulfill all righteousness until one day, by the special grace of God, I just was screening. I came to a Bright TV and I told you, as I put it,
hallelujah. Clap your hands now for the Bright TV
hallelujah.
Group.
Hallelujah. So, sir, what I want to ask is this. I've learned that the rapture will take place in this Gentile land. And after the rapture, the gospel will go back to Israel. But I want to ask, there are some Israel, there are some Jews who actually believe Christ. Does it mean that they will not partake in the rapture? And if they will partake, Will there be brethren or brides? And if they will not go, why should not they go?
No.
Praise the Lord.
No. There is a Jewish remnant.
Yes.
On the day of Pentecost, all of them that received the Holy Ghost, they were all Jews.
Okay.
That day, the first day, those that believed, the 3,000 that believed that day, they were all Jews. After that again, another 5,000 believed. They were all baptized. They were all Jews.
Yes.
And the revival continued until the persecution that took place. And finally in AD 70, God scattered all of them. Even now, there are Jews that believe. I have been in Israel and I have met them. In fact, our tour guide, when my wife and I, we went some time ago, was a Christian. They call them Messianic Jews because they believe
in Christ.
In Christ.
Yes.
They are there. We must not be like Elijah that thought he was the only one.
Okay.
God still has Jews. But now he's no more dealing with them as a nation. He has stopped that and he's coming to call out his bride from the Gentiles.
Yes.
But they will also be among those that will come and rule with us. Remember, in Matthew 19, they asked him, we are forsaking all. The disciples said, they are forsaking our following. What will be our reward?
Yes.
And he said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit upon his throne, you too, you will sit upon 12 thrones. Of Israel, tribes of Israel, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And when will that take place? In the millennium. So they will also come and they will rule with Christ as part of the bride.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Okay, so my second question is this. When the rapture has taken place and the Gentiles gone, what about those ones who are still alive who did not make it on the rapture? What will be happening to them? Since I believe that by that time, the dragon will not have been losing from the bottomless pit.
Mm.
And then the Jacob's trouble have not started. What will those people be doing? Those people who did not make it on the rapture. What will they be doing?
Please go and get that tape of the message I preached. What happens after the rapture?
Okay.
What happens after the rapture? After the rapture, Because there's a divine timetable that was given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. If you read it from verse 24. A time frame of 70 weeks, which is 70 weeks of years, 70 times 7, was given within the period that God will be dealing with them from a particular time frame to another time frame, a space of time. And what will happen within that period? And how that at the 69th week of those 70 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off after the 69th week. And he was cut off in AD 33.
Okay.
And remaining 1 week to be the 70th week, which is 7 years. Mm-hmm. Within that period, after the 69th, between the 69th week and the 70th week, is the Gentile dispensation. The period that he suspends dealing with Israel as a nation and comes to the Gentiles to pick himself and Esther, a bride for himself, because Vashti rejected. So, he has finished collecting the bride, then he comes for the last 7 years of the program he gave Israel. Now, it is within that period, the first 3.5 years, according to the agenda, the Antichrist enters a covenant of peace with Israel.
Okay.
But in the midst, according to Daniel chapter 9, in the midst of that covenant that is supposed to last for that 7 years, after 3.5 years, he breaks the covenant. And that is when Jeremiah tells us it is a time of Jacob's trouble. It is that great tribulation period. That is why the person that is reading all the scriptures for us, you can see from this agenda that the tribulation is not for the church. The church is gone. Then we are now waiting 7 years. After 7 years, the day of the Lord strikes and then wipe off, and that ends the times of the Gentiles. Daniel chapter 2, dream of Nebuchadnezzar that God revealed to him. The last ruling kingdom, which is the Roman kingdom, is finally smashed away with that stone, and that stone is Christ, and he comes and rules the earth. Now, so after the rapture, God is dealing with Israel. He has finished with the Gentiles. Any Gentile that didn't go in the rapture, the next thing is you are waiting for judgment that will come if you are alive. If you are dead, you will remain in the grave. Only those who receive the Holy Ghost, the grave will open for them to come out.
Yes.
The rest will remain there until after the 1,000 years that we rule.
Yes.
Then they will now come up in Revelation chapter 20, the white throne judgment. So that is the divine agenda.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Yes?
Praise the Lord, church. My question is taken from two Bible passages. Number one, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Now, Matthew chapter 29, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, Pastor, I stumbled in your ministry when I went for a prayer with my prayer partner. I went to his house. I saw him attuned on the station Bride TV. So I overheard you saying that the Holy Spirit, if I'm not mistaken, towards this year, is same Jesus. And then the other one, you said Matthew 28, 19, 18 and 19. He said, going to the, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, that we shouldn't baptize in the name of God the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. We should baptize in the name of our Lord Jesus. But my question goes here. Now the first one, the second one rather, because the first one is the Holy. You say the Holy Spirit is the same as Jesus. And then the second one, if Jesus has the final authority, and then he said the disciples gave baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul Apostle said we should baptize in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask, those who baptize or who are baptizing in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are they going contrary to the word of our Lord Jesus? And then Jesus and an apostle. Jesus, I believe he has the final say. You know, and I also believe that the apostle are commanded. You know, and then it's, for what I understand, it's like an advice. So I want to ask those who are baptizing in the name of God the Father and of the Son, and are they going contrary to the word of God?
Praise the Lord. Please. Help me and sing this song. Open my eyes that I may see.
Great is of truth thou art for me.
Place in my eyes the wonderful peace. Thou shalt of last accept.
First, how many of you here sitting down here have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? Like, can you stand up? Can you sing this song to the hearing of that brother?
Our eyes of understanding,
we have so good of our life, as we need to reach our. We are changed out in the past, true jubilee of salvation, and we have responded to our God. It's original.
Hallelujah.
The original. The original. The original.
Listen, my brother. Hallelujah. There's another song in our hymn book that says, but who do you say I am? And where do you say I am?
Do you know the Father? How can you? Jesus, bread, the fullness of the Godhead, don't you see?
Hey!
Jesus is the great I am.
Oh!
And the Lord of love is in me.
Hallelujah! One identification of the end time Jesus Christ spoke is, he said there shall be false teachers, false Christ, false anointed one. So the songwriter says, false prophets are lying. God's truth they are denying. That Jesus, that
the friend is not God.
Is that God?
Though this generation
falls
God's revelation, we walk where the apostles have drawn.
Hallelujah. My brother, read 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16.
All scripture is given.
Read all, again.
All scriptures.
Again.
All scriptures.
Not some.
All.
Including the one by the apostles.
Sure.
Written, complete it now.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Now, open Acts 2, chapter 38. Chapter 2, verse 20, 38. No, go to Matthew 28 first. Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19.
All right. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Is that by inspiration of God? That scripture you read, did I say by the inspiration of God?
Yes.
Okay, go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Verse 38.
Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name
of the Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Not Father. Go on, finish reading it.
For the remission of sins, and you shall receive.
Read it again.
Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
That verse you read, is it inspired by the Holy Ghost?
It's inspired by the Holy Ghost. Sir, what?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the commandment of Jesus? Go and baptize in which name? Brother, in which name?
In the name of God the Father.
Don't add your own. In which name? He didn't say God the Father. He just said the name of the Father.
That was Peter. Peter said to them, repent.
I say, what did Jesus say?
In Matthew 28:19, he says, go therefore.
And
baptize.
Yes.
In the name of the Father. And the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, study. Study. Now, the problem with you is that you are not studying, you are just reading. And you are reading not for you to understand, because you believe that the church you attend, they cannot be wrong. And that's where you have the problem. Now, sir, is Father a name?
No.
No. Is Son a name?
No.
Is Holy Ghost a name?
No.
Are you married?
I am. Yes, I am. Yes.
Who are you to your children?
I'm their father.
Do you have a name?
Sure, I do.
Hallelujah. Is your name Father?
No, sir.
So what is the name of that father I'm talking to?
My name is Chidi.
So the name of that father is Chidi. Correct?
Yes, sir.
So if they tell your children, go and do something in the name of your father, which name will they use? Father?
Chidi.
Not father?
No, sir.
Hallelujah. You have a father?
I do, sir.
Who are you to your father?
I'm his son.
What is the name of this son?
Chidi.
But how can Chidi be both son and father again?
But Jesus is a son to God, to his father.
He is son. What is his name?
It's Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Everybody knows the name of the Son of God, Jesus. Is the Son is Jesus, isn't it?
Sure.
Fine. Now, who is the father of Jesus?
God Almighty.
Which scripture says so?
Because Jesus himself always acknowledged his father.
Okay, let me tell you the scripture.
Okay.
Who is the name of your father?
Francis Opara, Mr. Francis Opara.
How did he become your father?
By birth.
Thank you. Anybody that gives birth to a man becomes the father of that child, isn't it? Correct?
Yes, sir.
Good. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Sir, can you read it yourself?
Matthew 1, 18.
Yes.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows.
This is the story, the history of how Chidi was born.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph,
yes.
Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit.
She was found child of who?
The Holy Spirit.
Who pregnanted Mary?
The Holy Spirit.
Who is the father of Jesus? And who do you say I am? And where do you say I am? Do you know the Father? And can you tell his name? In Jesus' world, the fullness of the Godhead of Jesus. Hey, Jesus is the great. Open John chapter 5, verse 43.
Okay. I have come in my Father's name.
Who is speaking?
Jesus.
In which name did he come in?
His Father's name.
What is the name of the person speaking?
Jesus Christ.
And he came in his father's name. So the name of the father is who? Go to John chapter 14 and verse 26.
But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom...
Read it very well. But who?
But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay? He will teach you all...
The Holy Spirit that the Father will send in whose name?
In the name of Jesus.
What is the name of the Holy Ghost?
In the name of Jesus.
What is the name of the Holy Ghost now?
Jesus.
What is the name of the Father? John 5:43. What is the name of the Father?
John 5:43. I have come in my Father's name.
So, what is the Father's name there?
Jesus.
What is the name of the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit, does it have...
John 4:26. We just read it, 14:26.
Jesus.
What is the name of the Son?
Jesus.
Go and baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Which name will you use?
Jesus.
Church, clap your hands for Jesus. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord, church. Please, I want to ask, you said a lot on the areas women should function in the church, but there are some things I still don't understand. That's why I want clarification. Was it last week or so, a girl said she's 17 years and that she has been chosen to be the leader of a missionary group in his school. And he asked, he sent a question online and asked if it's right for her to do that.
So what's your question?
What I want, because you told her that where men are, that she's not supposed to lead.
That is how it is in the Church of Jesus Christ.
Yes, but I have been seeing here that in the choir, women solo songs. Sometimes
is that the leadership you are talking about? As a group, they have a leader there, and it's a man. The person in charge of that group that is leading them is a man.
But among them, somebody stood up to solo a song, and is a woman.
That does not make him to be a leader of the group.
Okay, sometimes a lady, women also lead in songs during praise and worship. Like there was a sister that was here before. She used to lead. And
even now, you saw them singing today. Even today, you saw them singing.
That's what I want.
Under the leadership of the group leader, is the one in charge.
Okay, you also said that it's not right for a woman to stand out and teach in Sunday school.
Where there are men, you are preaching where there are men sitting down. The Bible is against it.
But when you were teaching on the Daniel, the book of Daniel, there's a particular sister you used to call to come and read the Bible for you.
It is the same setting. It is the same setting as the leader of the singing group, the choir, also appointing somebody to leading song worship, but he is in charge.
Please, don't be angry. Let me still ask. In case of Sunday school, they used to have Sunday school departments where maybe a man leads. So can't the man appoint a lady, a woman, to stand out and teach in the Sunday school?
No.
Okay.
To create Sunday school department with a Sunday school coordinator, and it's appointing people, and they're appointing women to preach. What is Sunday school and what is preaching? It's the same thing.
Okay. Now, my final question, sir. If women are not allowed to function, please, I want to know, because it's what has been bothering me. Where is the place of grace, or what is the place of grace for women?
What is the meaning of grace?
Grace means unmerited favor. Because we are made to believe that it was a woman that ate, that sinned, that make us to fall short of the glory. And that is why women are not allowed to lead again, so that they will not cause the second
fall. So you know that one. That's why they cannot come and teach for Sunday school. Because that word that they are trying to teach has been removed from them and given to the man. Close your mouth so that you don't mess it up again. You are correct. That's what Apostle Paul said. No be me talking.
So I don't understand, sir.
You don't understand, Apostle Paul?
Is grace, is the grace not sufficient for women?
The grace we are talking about is unmerited favor for our salvation. And what is grace? Grace is the better covenant, because this is man is not able to serve God. We don't have the ability to live a life pleasing before God because of our nature. Grace is God now by himself comes and indwells a man and causes that man by the working of the power that dwell in us to now live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the meaning of grace. Now, that brings you into the church, the body of Christ. Then there is order there. Everyone takes his own place. And the man takes his place and the woman takes his place. And when we come together as a church, Apostle Paul lined us up for church order that the head of the woman is the man. And you cannot go and start exercising authority over your head. And so the woman, in the true church and proper interpretation of the scripture, the woman cannot exercise authority by way of leadership. And the leadership position in the church, there are six offices. The first one, we see the apostles. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, we have the prophet, we have the evangelist, we have the pastor, we have the teacher. Then we have the deacons. They are all positions of authority to lead the church. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we have 9 spiritual gifts, it is for the body. It is both man and woman. You can operate any of those gifts. You have the gift of the word of knowledge. You should be free to, you see a revelation, the pastor should be able to give you the microphone to give what you saw while he's standing there at the altar. And the woman can counsel anybody, can pray for anybody, but to be ordained into the leadership offices, the Bible says no, so that what happened in the Garden of Eden will not happen now again.
So it is like a rule. It's a rule.
A rule.
The grace is there, but it's a rule.
It is the order, the church order. It's because we too, we are organized. God bless you. From Anambra State, Nigeria, Brother Michael, Pastor, if you say the baptism of fire, referred to by John, is talking about those that will be burned up with Jesus, when Jesus will destroy the earth, why then do you say receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire when ministering? Now, I want you to understand, when I say receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, I am not quoting verse 12 or verse 11 of Matthew chapter 3. What does fire do? What is the purpose of fire? Fire is to destroy what is not needed. And when that fire released by the Holy Ghost comes upon a sinner, it burns away every carnality. It burns away sin nature and transforms you to a new creature. So when I say receive the Holy Ghost and fire, I am telling you receive the power that transforms. God bless you. Yes.
Shalom, church. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, sir. I think a question from one is a question from all. And the answer you have been giving is answering a lot of questions.
Thank you.
So, but I want to ask, looking at the end time setting generally, we have been believing that the eagle has been, you know, the symbol of our faith, the anointing we have at this time. But unfortunately, the revelation was progressive and then something came up new. So, can we say it was a mystic? Because I believe maybe Brother Abraham taught it also. Can we say it's a mystic or an error, or because of the progression of revelation, we have a new picture?
Do you know what William Branham taught on that?
No, sir. I don't have the sermon books.
So how do you not say I'm saying different from what William Branham said?
No, I'm not saying you are saying what is different. What I mean is this. Because we encounter people who try to question what we now believe. What the revelation we now have. They will say, but you were saying this before. Because I told Shirley to give me something. So when I had it, I asked him to wait till I confirm what I've heard. So I'm saying, how can we, you know, how can we put it forward? Can we say,
any teaching I teach you, I show you from the scripture. Any teaching I teach you, I show you from the scripture. And every doctrine you are going to defend, if you don't want any argument, you see me speaking to the young man up there. Did you hear me quote William Branham? Eh?
No, sir.
What was I quoting?
The Bible.
The Bible.
Yes, sir.
But do you know who taught me that? Who taught me that? It's William Branham. Do you understand?
I get you, sir.
So, but I will not validate my teaching with Brother Branham. Say, if I understand William Branham was showing me in the Bible. So I will take the same Bible and show it to anybody.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir. And you...
Anybody you see sitting down in a pulpit, and Brother Abraham said, God didn't call him.
That's true, sir.
Brother Abraham said, that person does not understand William Branham.
That's true, sir. Praise the Lord.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I understand you very clearly.
The bride of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22. The bride and the spirit say what?
Come.
They said the same thing. Listen. The enter message. Thank God. Most of the pastors here, you are from enter message churches. Every opportunity I have to say, I don't hesitate to say it. We scare the people from hearing what William Branham taught. By the way, we present that man. So people are scared. That man did not come to present himself. He came to present Christ, the Word, to us. You are a follower of the ministry of William Branham if after you heard him, the Bible becomes your absolute.
That's true, sir. I agree with you.
You won't go to evangelical field and go with sermon book and tell them you are proving the ministry of William Branham. William Branham say, William Branham say, William Branham say. Nobody will listen to you. You can see now, without mentioning William Branham, he has caught the revelation. Why? Because I opened the Bible to show him. And it was William Branham that pointed my attention to it. Now that I understood William Branham, now I am qualified to go and preach like William Branham. Anywhere, I'm putting my picture at his wallpaper for his phone. Or hanging it in his bedroom and saying, oh, if not for this man, oh. Just know that he is not part of the bride.
That's true, sir.
It's not at all. It's an idol worshiper. And that's why I preach that message entitled The Spirit of Idolatry. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The thing there is the average Gentile is idolatrous. Do you know some people worship William Branham?
That's true.
I call them serpent seeds. And do you know the average, most of these intermediate churches I have visited, anytime you talk, you mention the name William Branham. There is an anointing, an excitement that comes upon them. Yes, sir! But when you mention the Lord Jesus Christ, they keep quiet. If you say, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, They keep coming. But when you say, "Is Sabino Kayo?" When the prophet was like, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir." They have the spirit of Abraham. They don't have the spirit of Christ. That is what the devil used to mess up this glorious message God gave that man for us. If you are preaching, the sermon is not complete until you quote what William Branham say. What kind of thing is that? A preacher should go and study what the prophets say. Understand it and come to your congregation and break it down for them to understand. That's how it should be. It's all Satan to mess up that glorious ministry. But nothing can defeat the purpose of God. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. How can somebody say he had William Branham and is baptizing in the name of William Branham? They do that. They put William Branham's picture and they bow down before it. And they read the Bible. And they cannot see idolatry there. But whether they like it or not, if not for the ministry of that man, you see, the ministry of that man produced me. I have never been any denomination before. The first church I entered when I gave my life to Christ is an intermessage church. But see me, why am I different from them? It's because I understand differently. I follow the man and they don't even know what he's saying. And when he says that every true church, these gifts must operate. Why is he not operating in many of them? Because they have chased the Holy Ghost away. They now use the name of William Branham instead of the name of Jesus. They will tell you, "I'm not in the message." That's the truth. If that is their understanding of the message, I am not there, but I am a Christian. Called by God to call out a people from the denominational setting, bring them back to the Word of God. And I have brought you to the Bible. I did not point you to any man other than Jesus Christ. My hands are clean. If you make any human being your idol, I didn't teach you that. I didn't teach you that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you make me your idol, you are the same spirit following those people. It's upon you. Amen. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, it's just one question I want to ask.
Yes.
I'm confused. This is Deuteronomy 22. 22 verse 5.
You don't wear trouser?
No. Why I'm asking this question is about, does that verse also refers to couples?
To
couples.
What do you mean couple?
Like a wife wearing her husband's something. Is it wrong?
Like my wife, you go and carry my trouser and wear.
No, not your trouser. Let's say your shoe or maybe a shirt.
Carry wear, go wear. Go village.
No, in the compound.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Because I'm asking
for a woman to carry her husband's cloth and wear, she must be a comedian. She's doing comedy in the house. Baba Sala.
Okay. Now,
so that the children will be laughing. A normal woman will dress like a woman now. She has her dress, he has his dress. So why do you want to wear the one that men wear? Whether your husband get them or your son get them. Why?
So even slippers or anything, it's not.
Slippers.
We are talking about
the appearance.
Yes.
The clothing that we wear. And when we make reference to that verse, we are talking about the fashions of today. They wear these things for fashion. They wear it and they go out. And it's for the purpose of fashion. Christian women should not put that on.
I'm still confused.
You are confused?
Yes. Why but I ask this question?
You are talking about maybe sharing something the husband uses.
Yes.
Maybe you should be talking about even toothbrush.
No. Not that one, sir. Sir, I've seen
anything that can be shared between you and your husband, you share it. But when you have to go out dressed like a woman, don't dress like a man. That's all. Yes?
God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. This question I want to ask is in respect of Archbishop Favor and Apostle Adeze. If I want to ask question based on women leadership. If God don't want a woman to open a church, why then did God use Prophetess Deborah? And she's trying.
What was the name of her church?
There was no church, sir.
So why are you calling Deborah here? Was she ministering in any temple in Israel? Was Deborah ministering in the temple in Israel?
No, sir.
Deborah was holding a political office, not a spiritual office.
And again, sir, a prophetess that opened a church, when I was telling her about women leadership, she said that God says if she wants to preach in a church, she has to sit down.
And not stand up.
Not stand up because there is men in the church.
Praise the Lord. It's written clearly in the Bible, and they are free to interpret it to suit their selfish purposes. Whether you sit or you stand before men, you must not lead them. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Church, clap your hands for Jesus.
Leave me below in this old sinful world. Hardly a comfort can afford.
Let me hear the brothers now.
where could I go? That will help us in the end. And that friend is Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what that songwriter says. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus.
No, no.
The sweep up to glory. We see his
Yeah.
Sing it again, sister, sing it again, oh, Tina. Let me hear the brothers. Oh, Tina. Everybody, everybody.
Oh, today.